Welcome. I'm Amy Post. Thank you so much for tuning in today and giving us a little bit of your time. Got a special guest on today and have really been kind of looking at things a little bit different. I know each time I get on my podcast, we're talking about all kinds of different important, deep topics. And today is probably one of the most important topics as I kind of go through this journey. Many of you know, the history of what I've been through with my daughter, the diagnosis, really leading up to why I wrote the book. And now it's really just been a beautiful, absolutely personal journey in kind of where I'm going next. So kind of leads me up to my next guest, and I'm super excited to have him on the show. So Justin Donald, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks. So glad to be here and get a chance to hang out. It was fun catching up off air. So much of what we talked about, I joked with you. I said, we should have already started it because this is good content.
It is. Hopefully we can kind of touch on that a little bit. But yeah, really, really good stuff. So just to kind of give you guys a little bit of background, Justin is just an incredible human being. He is a father, a husband, a best-selling author, and just all around incredible financial individual, finance and investment, you know, genius. He's helped my husband and I greatly. How long do we go back? Is it like 18 years or something like that, I think?
If it's not, it's really close to that. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been friends basically ever since I moved to St. Louis, you know, because I met Eric pretty early on, maybe within a year of moving to St. Louis. So that would have been back in 05. So I would have met him 05 to 06.
Wow. Time flies. I just can't even get over it. With Eric, he joined the Front Row Dads, which you introduced him to. And he's been a member now for several years, which has been, I'm not kidding you, it's been life-changing. I actually have a phone call tomorrow with John Vroman, and I've been stalking him. And I think he just gave in. It was like, I'm just going to talk to this person, you know. But it's things like that, that, you know, we just appreciate your friendship. And it has just been such a cool opportunity to, you know, see where you have come and to be able to say you're such a close friend and be able to lean on you and ask for advice and be in that like safe space of being able to, you know, have a friend and kind of a, you know, a business colleague. It's been super cool relationship.
Well, thank you. And I just feel the same way. And it's been really neat that, you know, of all the people, we only had a handful that were part of our founding members, the OGs of Lifestyle Investor. And that was you and Eric. And so, you know, not only did we get a chance to collaborate more just as friends, then we got to do it from the standpoint or context of finances and wealth creation and asset allocation and actually creating passive income versus theoretically, you know, what does it say in a textbook? The five keys to investing are, I mean, that's just not practical. Yeah. And so I love that we could dive into it.
I'll probably be taking several notes as we talk. I have lots of stuff kind of scribbled down. I mean, I think there's a million places that we could start, but I'll kind of maybe touch on some of the things that we talked about right before we started recording, because I think it'll give the audience a little bit more, just give them some color around the situation. And, you know, many of you do know what had occurred, you know, with my daughter and really why I started the podcast and why I wrote the book. You know, our daughter was diagnosed with malignant liver cancer at age 3. And not only were we whisked into the hospital and into the medical system, we were told that she had a really rare genetic cancer gene that would produce 2 additional cancers, which was absolutely terrifying. But what was, you know, even more terrifying, I think, as well as my research went on, I found out that this rare genetic cancer gene doesn't make any money. So it's not studied. So that's even more terrifying when you really dig into some of the things that happened to you and what that really means. So for me, and I told Justin before the show, for me, one of the biggest things to figure out was immediately finances. How are we taken care of? What does the insurance cover? Thankfully, we had excellent insurance. I mean, I don't think I could have been more thankful for that. It is a necessary evil. I'm not even going to try to sugarcoat that one, but it was absolutely necessary. And I was so thankful that we did have that at the time. You know, I went to the pharmacy downstairs. I ran dummy scripts at the hospital. just to find out what the medications were going to cost. It's going to be about $16,000 out of pocket if you didn't have insurance. And it was going to be about a little under $2,000 a month if you did have the great insurance that we had. Just little things like that. And we started a GoFundMe account and really kind of buttoning up and looking at our finances a little bit better. And we were in the system for so long, several years. I couldn't leave. I couldn't go home. I ended up losing my job, lost everything, hit rock bottom again. So everything around, you know, what I was thinking and my whole thought process each and every day was, how are we not going to lose our house and everything that we've worked so hard for? But we were walking through the valley of death and in such a traumatic situation. I was really hoping I could think rational and be able to figure these types of things out. So for us, you know, working with, you know, friends like yourself in, you know, just creating that passive income, other streams of income, my number one goal was when this happens again, because I can't offload it. You know, she will develop two additional cancers. Now the clinical trials are very old, but it does tell me exactly when that's going to occur. So I pretty much have a roadmap for the rest of our life that's quite terrifying. But we dug in, it's not terrifying any longer. You know, we're much more prepared and we just prepare each and every day because you can't be over prepared for these types of things. So hopefully I kind of captured what we talked about before, but man, finances can make it or break it. And I did tell you, Justin, I then spent the last several months interviewing individuals that have had children diagnosed with, you know, horrible diseases, cancers, you know, something occurred to where, you know, they'll never be able to live on their own ever again. And finances was the number one thing that the family had challenges with. The husband and wife fought about, didn't know how they were going to hold the family together. And then it kind of brings me back to that 90-10 rule that I learned the next day after being kind of whisked into the system. 90% of the couples get divorced and children die. And so my goal has been to really dig in and figure out what happened with the 90% and what happened with the 10% that survived and really kind of create something really cool. So here we are. And I can't wait to really just hear more about your story. I think kind of telling the audience a little bit about yourself. And you have such an incredible story from the time we met to where you are now. It makes my head spin, but I'm so thrilled to have you tell the audience a little bit about this.
Sure. I'd love to do that. Before I do, I've got to let your audience know how incredible you are as a mother, a wife, a businesswoman, a top salesperson, and really juggling it all and doing, you know, because I've seen it. Like, you're many people that listen to you probably don't see or know you as well as I do, as well as Jennifer and I do. And, you know, you're the real deal. And I can't even for a second imagine all that you've been through and how you've gotten through it. And you've gotten through it all. And then, you know, to a certain degree, there's only so much I can empathize because I've never lived what you've lived. Now, anyone who has kids can imagine what that's like, and it's the worst feeling in the world and you feel helpless. And so to that degree, I can, but I can't fully embody, you know, what you went through. And I even remember when we had a small scare that ended up not being what it originally was, but you were the first person there and you were asking questions, you were so supportive. And so I think what you are building for families dealing with this is incredible. I think it's amazing. And so I'm happy to share my story, but I think more important than my story is your story, and for your audience to know how lucky they are and how special it is that you're being as vulnerable as you are and telling people what you have gone through, what you're going through, what it was like, what to prepare for. This is really, really a cool path that you're taking.
I appreciate that, Justin. It means so much. And it is, I share so much and I never want to overload people, but yet I want to relate to people. I can relate on just so many levels. It's a curse and it's an absolute blessing all in one.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, I'm excited to be here and to share some of the things I've learned along the way. So my story is pretty simple, but it's interesting and it's interesting because it's definitely a more unconventional way of going about life, going about business, going about wealth creation and finances. And so, you know, when I got started here on the entrepreneurial side, I got started with a company called Cutco, which we were talking about before, and we've all made some great friends through the Cutco organization. I did that to pay for my way through college and then moved up the ranks there on the management side of that company and ended up producing a lot of the content and training for the company. And so I recognized early on that I had some skills, I had some gifts, and they likely could be used beyond just the Cutco realm. And when I started doing some consulting on the side, I saw that it was more valuable than I even realized. And so I figured, well, you know, I'm kind of, you know, I have this, you know, company that I started, but at the same degree, it really is reliant upon me. Like I'm the driver of it. So how do I shift this? How do I create an asset that produces income that isn't dependent upon me, my time, my energy, my resources? Because only then am I likely going to be truly financially free. And so I realized that it's either building and scaling a huge business that has the capability of pulling me out, which takes a long time and it's really complicated to do and takes a lot of money and a lot of expertise, or buy assets that do it. And by the way, it could be a business. It could be buying businesses that have the, you know, there's already the capital coming out, you know, the revenue or the profit that can afford someone to run it. And so that was really appealing to me, but I figure I want kind of like a safer out. A business can be, you know, it can crash and burn or it can go to the moon, right? But there's a big in between there, and the worst case scenario is a pretty bad worst case scenario. Yeah. So I figure, well, more of a sure thing is probably getting some real estate that cash flows, that has some intrinsic value. Because even if I mess it up, which I have messed a lot of things up before figuring them out, it will never be worth zero. There's always some sort of value built in. I can always recoup something, even if I screw it all up. And that gave me the peace of mind to really get into real estate investing. I had a friend that was buying mobile home parks. And at first I thought it was crazy and there was no way I was ever going to do that. And he wanted me to be his partner. And I was like, no way. That, you know, he wanted me to go to a boot camp with him. And I was like, that sounds horrible. Go on your own. You know, let me know how it goes. And it ended up being a great event for him. He ended up buying a mobile home park and doing really well. And I saw it. I was lending him money. And then I started seeing the numbers and I was like, wait a minute, why am I not doing this? Why are you doing this with my money when I could be doing this with my money? And that's when everything changed. I decided to go to a boot camp. I decided to learn, find the best person out there and have them mentor me, you know, pay to be part of his program, pay to have access to him. And then just, you know, I'm a really good copycat. People think I create a lot of stuff. I actually think I'm really good at copying the best, finding the best first, and then copying them to a T. And maybe over time I can innovate. But what was neat is the very first mobile home park we bought, it replaced my wife's income. So she didn't have to work anymore. She retired. She was a teacher, so she retired. And then it was right then that we had our daughter. And then, you know, from there on out, you know, she never had to work. And she was able to focus on the family the way that she wanted to. We bought another mobile home park and it replaced our survival income. We bought one more and it replaced our lifestyle income. And then we sold that one and flipped it into two others that covered our earned income. And that was really cool. But I mean, to just cover the survival income, that was where I really felt like a physical release, like I had a weighted backpack full of heavy bricks that were weighing me down and making it hard to breathe. And it was like I was going up a hill with it every day until I knew we didn't have to do anything. Like no time was required to at least cover our survival expenses. Yeah. So not lifestyle, just survival, right? Just mortgage, utilities, car payments, food, all that, right? Like that was huge. And it bought me the time and the space to reassess my life.
And I want to stop right there. That is so very important. It's everything that I think we all go through in those traumatic situations of if we just had that weight, just that weight lifted off of our shoulders, how much better we could think and concentrate and make better decisions and not have to be pulled in so many different directions and wonder who's going to be able to be there and who's not and who has to work and what that looks like. And I know hands down it had, I think it has so much to do with that 90-10. It's truly in every bit of my research that I've done. And it's so sad to think that if we just prepare a little more or start preparing sooner in life for what will happen, be in such a better place when those challenges come around. But if nothing ever happens, then you're already in such a great position. It's beautiful. It's a win-win situation all around.
It's the best insurance policy out there. You don't know what life's going to present to you. I mean, maybe you've got some insight because you know what, runs in the family. Most people don't have that luxury. And so what happens, happens. But if you can get the finances under control early, you can buy assets that produce enough passive income at first to survive. And then secondly, let's get to actual lifestyle. It's a game changer because then the greatest stress in marriages, the greatest stress in general is removed, and you can focus your time and energy on the things that really matter, the people who matter, the things that bring you passion, joy, and fulfillment, and finding a schedule that accommodates all, spending time with those loved ones in as much volume as you want, right? And whatever cadence you want, but then also pouring into the things and the people, the projects that really light you up. And for a lot of people, maybe most people are probably not doing what, their dream job is, but those that are may not even realize it because they're working a schedule that doesn't align with how they want to show up and how they want to work. And it's funny because we'll have, medical professionals. We have this all the time in our community. These really well-paid medical professionals hate what they do, but the moment we teach them how to buy their time back, they actually realize they love what they do when they're doing it 20 to 30 hours a week. And once they can create that schedule to do it, now they're fulfilled, but they're working a timeline that really just makes it easy for them to do the other things they want to do, spend time with family, travel, all those things.
Yeah, it's difficult to understand how to put it all together on a normal day, let alone, when you're in the turmoil of whatever you're going through, whatever challenges you're going through. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It's huge.
I can't imagine a life where the trauma is there and we have so many decisions that have to be made around that, having this other thing lingering of like, oh yeah, I still need to provide for our expenses and our mortgage and our groceries and do all these things. Like you feel like you need to be all these places at one time and you cannot. You really have to pick and choose. So I think it just makes a lot of sense to create the best insurance policy, which is income producing assets. Because then, if life kind of gives you a bad hand, it's that much easier to navigate it and to pour your time in the areas that matter the most. They know where their time should be spent, but if they don't, make money, then it's all, for naught anyway.
I think, if we don't have good mentors and we don't surround ourselves with those individuals that, can really hold us accountable and push us to new limits, I don't know how we get there. It's, the book Tribe of Millionaires. It was one of the funnest, cool books I was reading in the beginning. I'm like, what are they getting to? Like, what is this? And then I couldn't put the book down. I remember telling Eric, you have to read this book. Like, it's just such a good, quick read. But at the end, it just all makes sense, the wrong people. And we could talk all day about that and just the tribe of people that you surround yourself with and that sort of thing. But I think if you don't have some sort of roadmap or some sort of, mentor that is helping you, it's tough. And then you pick up a zillion books that try to lead you all different directions. And I still have yours. It's in the white cover, of course, sitting here. I see the black, cover behind you. So I know, yeah, you've kind of redone a little bit, but your book was phenomenal. I couldn't put it down. I've scribbled everywhere in it. Eric hates that. He hates picking up a book that we have together and reading all my scribbles. Just so funny. So it's one of those funny things that we do, but I just couldn't, I couldn't put it down. It makes sense. It's easy to understand. It's applicable. You can really kind of jump in at any point and I think put a lot of this quickly into play.
The goal is that anyone can read it and anyone can take action from it, that it's going to be simplified down, that someone who doesn't understand finances, doesn't understand investing, they can get it and it can make sense, and it's not much. But at the same time, for people that do have, you know, an acumen and understanding, it can really, you know, drill into some of the specifics and some of the details. And, you know, part of the reason I wanted to have a glossary in there so people could just dog ear the book and always go back and always look things up. But the goal is that it applies to everyone. And you could be a novice, you can be really sophisticated. And the goal is that everyone finds some value in it. And I also like to start at the beginning with each person on what their freedom vision is, what's an ideal lifestyle, and then how do we get there? What does that look like? What does it cost? What is that? What do the monthly financials need to look like?
Yeah. And I don't know about you. I mean, you can answer this, but with writing my book, it was probably one of the most healing, just therapeutic things that I've ever done. And I know each person that writes their own book, they take something different out of it. But like, what was that for you? Because I know you've said a million times, and I hear you all the time, like, I wasn't a writer. Like, I don't write books. I wasn't set out to do this. And I think that's so cool, because like, I remember coming to you and I'm like, I don't know what to do. I'm tormented. Like, God is just tormenting me. I think I have to write a book, but I don't write them. I read them. This is crazy. What does God have in store? So I think it's so cool to hear that kind of story.
Yeah. I mean, still today, you know, I just finished this updated and expanded edition. So, you know, it's my second book, but it's kind of, you know, a continuation of the same book. We just added a lot of content, and I still don't consider myself a writer. I consider myself an educator. You know, I like to teach people things, and I kind of look at the book as that, like, can I teach through my own experiences? That there are things that I've learned a lot about, some of them the easy way, most of them the hard way. That's why I learned them really well. And hopefully I can help people, you know, avoid those same mistakes. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was really therapeutic to write it. You know, the book originally happened as a dedication to my daughter. And the only reason, I had friends for years saying, Justin, you should write a book. You know, we've been doing these things you've been saying, and we'd love to learn more. And I just, again, I thought it'd be cool to write a book, but I don't know if I ever saw like my name on a book. But my friend said, hey, Justin, what happens if you die and your daughter never learns all these things that you figured out in investing? You have a methodology that should be shared. And so that was it. The next day, and by the way, when I say I wrote my book, I didn't actually physically write it. I dictated it. So the next day, I literally just picked up my phone, went for a walk, and just started recording my thoughts, recording, if I were to write a book, what would I want in it? What are stories? What are lessons learned? And so that's where it started. So yeah, I'm thrilled with the book. I didn't have a following when the book came out. I didn't have a social media presence. I didn't have an email list. I was really hoping that like 200 of my friends would buy it, you know, and I would be really happy. Because, you know, I had a good friend say, hey, if you ever get to 10,000 books ever, like, you know, your whole life, you know, the life of the book, if you ever get to 10,000, that's a successful book, because most books don't make it there. And so we ended up hitting that in a couple of days, and I was like, oh my goodness. And it really just was like, you know, people resonating with the story and wanting to learn more, and probably a lot of luck around timing. Ended up being a number one Wall Street Journal bestseller. And what I'm most proud of is, as of, well, one more stat before what I'm most proud of. As of last year, January 2023, it is a top 1% of all books ever sold by volume. And so what I'm most proud of, though, is that 100% of the proceeds go to fight human trafficking, and it is making a difference. You know, hundreds of thousands of dollars are going towards these efforts. We're talking about thousands of kids. The proceeds here have already saved thousands of kids. And I just am excited for the future, what that's going to look like. Mm-hmm. Same thing is true of the new updated and expanded edition.
I think that's awesome. Yeah, I was hoping we'd have even a moment to kind of dive into that. Because when I heard that you were putting the proceeds towards the sex trafficking, I think it's so cool. I'm recently, several weeks ago, went to a talk at Mercy Hospital here in St. Louis, and you know, all the police, you know, and just tons and tons of individuals were there talking to the hospital staff about the sex trafficking. And I had no idea what it actually was. I thought I knew what it was. I had no idea of actually what the definitions were and what it was. It's eye-opening for people. And I think more should just dig into that, because it happens so easily right underneath our noses and we don't know, but we could know and we could then look out. And I think really put a lot more time and dedication and funds into something like that would make a huge difference. I agree.
100%. Most people look at it as like, you know, things happening in other countries. And yeah, it is happening in other countries, but it's actually happening in all 50 states as well.
And I don't want to get too off guard, but what brought you to, you know, the decision of wanting to put, you know, the proceeds towards sex trafficking? How did you become, you know, that passionate about it? What was that moment or something leading up to that?
Well, it's interesting. I've always wanted to figure out the best outlet for me. And, you know, we had donated to a number of things, and, you know, we do believe that it's really important to be charitable. It's really important to tithe, and, you know, that if you can't give of your money, then your money likely has a grip on you that's so strong, it isn't allowing you that gift of generosity. So it's not that I didn't have a heart for it. We did it, but it wasn't like I had connected. And so I had a good friend say, "Hey, Justin, if you really want to make a difference, then figure out what the number one thing is that breaks your heart. And whatever that is, make that your passion project and your outlet for charity." And by the way, that charity can come financially. It can come with time. It can come with using your network to help bring resources to it in whatever way that, you know, those organizations need it. But it became pretty clear when I thought about, like, what's the worst thing that could possibly happen, you know, outside of a death for any parents? I mean, think about the worst thing that could happen. And so, yeah, that breaks my heart more than anything. And then after that, I just was totally clear. And it was like, great. I've been, you know, kind of spreading, you know, our charitable endeavors across a bunch of different things, but I don't know that I had a heart necessary for them, but I wanted to help. I wanted to, you know, it was kind of like someone asked and I just said, yeah, sure, we'll help out. Versus now it's intentional. And, you know, we're proactively doing things with our time, with our treasures, you know, with resources.
I think that's so cool. I love that, what breaks your heart the most. And I think people really need to think about that each and every day. I think we get a little bit sidetracked and life is so busy, and, you know, we do hold on to our money, and my goodness, look at the, you know, the world right now. And I think if you have the ability to let go of your money that loosely, it will come back to you in droves. I mean, just over and over and over again. You know, just being able to be grateful and giving back, and it's one of the things I learned, and I may have told you that story of, you know, the day after we landed in the hospital, I remember meeting a gentleman in the coffee room right across from us and asking him what he was in here for. And his son had been diagnosed with cancer when he was about my daughter's age when we were coming in. She was 3 or 4, or he was 3 or 4, and they were back again. They were out for a while, several years. And then his son was, I think, now about 13, and he was diagnosed with brain cancer. And I remember just tears just rolling down my cheeks as he walked out of that room, and me walking back over to my daughter's room and thinking, I have absolutely nothing to feel sorry about. And I have to find something to be blessed about, be grateful, and count my blessings every single day. And from that day on, I did. And I think that did keep me a little more, you know, connected with my faith. I think it's powerful. It truly is.
Well, there's that old adage that everyone puts all their problems in the middle. And when you actually have the perspective to see all of them, you just gladly go pick yours up and leave. Because no matter how bad you have it, there's a lot of people that have it worse. You may just not realize it because it's easy to be so focused on, you know, the tragedies of your life, like what's most real and what's top of mind for you.
You know, it's not like we have a way of showing all our tragedies. You know, there's nothing on the outside of us that's really showing them. So I think it's really difficult to know. So no, I appreciate that. I think that's super cool. I think it's so commendable of you to kind of, you know, get involved, but it's huge for people to really kind of learn and dig in a little bit more. Even if they're uncomfortable learning about something like that, it's really important to just, you know, just learn, just educate yourself and then, you know, go from there.
Unfortunately, there are a lot of charities out there that the dollars raised go towards the administration and the staff. And so it's interesting. I spend all this time vetting deals. So like I spend all like hours and hours myself, my team, you know, diligencing these investments to see if they're good investments. And I never even for a second thought that you need to do that with charitable organizations, but you really do. And so I'm just really thankful for Love Justice International and Tim Tebow Foundation, just two incredible organizations where the dollars go where you think they go.
Yeah, I think that's amazing. I remember you stating that you were going to go spend some time with him, and that's what you guys were involved with. And man, I was just like, I have more respect and more respect every time I turn around. It's just so cool. I mean, you guys just have such huge hearts, and I think it's amazing. But you're giving with your money and your time, and that's huge. So let's take a step back. I mean, one thing that maybe we can touch on just slightly, and I try to mention it to people, but you know, sometimes it's a little tough, you know, in different conversations of talking about things. But one of the first things that you had mentioned to us, Justin, was whole life insurance. Like years and years ago, I think we started investing in that maybe 15 years ago, and you know, much, much further back than that. And I know that that's, you know, a very good, probably one of the best things that we ever did for ourselves. I mean, is that something that you still, I mean, I know you're passionate about it and probably talk about it all the time, but just kind of, you know, briefly talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Life insurance gets a bad rap, and it's because often a lot of people don't know all the nuances and that there are different kind of like segments of life insurance. Some are better than others. Some, you know, are not as great. You have some of the big name authorities like Dave Ramsey, that his whole business, his whole model is built on helping people get out of debt. And so, yeah, those people probably shouldn't invest in whole life products. But that's not how you create wealth, right? To get out of debt is one set of like protocol, if you will, and to create wealth is a totally different set of protocol. And if you pay attention to the wealthiest people, I mean, 90 plus percent of them have some sort of whole life policy. Depending on their level of net worth and level of successful finances and you know kind of where they are in the world, it might be private placement, it might be premium financed, but at a minimum, it's whole life. And if you think about the wealthiest families in the world, like the ones that span the longest time, that have generational wealth, like the Rockefellers, and you know, there's really only a handful others. They did it utilizing whole life as a family bank where they borrow back and forth from that, whether it be for education, for, you know, college, whether it be for starting a business, whether it be for car loans, whatever it is, but that everyone knows that they pay it back and they pay it back with interest and it compounds tax-free. It can be used by all family members. It can pass down through generations. And so they've built this. Most families don't even go three generations. The ones that are really wealthy, they'll lose all their wealth. The wealthiest families in the world, in three generations, all the wealth will be gone. And for most, it's one or two, right? But the longest is generally three. There's only a handful of families that we know about that have gone longer than that. But if you pay attention to the mechanics and the tools that they use, whole life is one of a handful of those tools. But I would call it a foundational tool. And I don't know any other investment where you can put money in and earn a guaranteed return. So we're not talking about hypothetical. It is built into the contract, a guaranteed return, a guaranteed minimum with a possibility of more. You can borrow against it for investing. For, you know, we borrowed against it for every real estate, you know, asset that we purchased, and a bunch of different passive investments. And so now you earn two returns with the same money. I don't know anywhere else that you can do that and have tax-free growth, tax-free death benefit, and tax-free distribution.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I know that, you know, the stock market can be good. The stock market is very volatile. It's one of those things I think people tend to get into. I mean, Eric and I got out of the stock market for the most part, but we still invest a little bit. But I do feel that our best investments were the whole life insurance and then the mobile home park and all of our buildings. I mean, we would not have made it through the last almost 10 years if we wouldn't have had those things started, you know, 15 years ago that just allowed a little bit less of that building sitting on my shoulders, you know, every single day to be able to make, you know, better decisions. But it never stopped us from like, what if it got worse? Well, what if, you know, I'm one of those that just, I'm a planner. I don't procrastinate. Actually, it's one of my biggest pet peeves is somebody that procrastinates. Eric hates that because I'm always like, just, you know, that procrastination just drives me bonkers. So I think those were some of the best things that we did. And I think they are easy to kind of understand. They're not overly complicated. You know, we'd been working with, I think, the same, you know, individuals that you did when we first got in the industry. And now we're working with the same individuals again. And so it's not overly complicated. You just have to be, you know, paying attention and put some time into it. I think for us, it was putting in the time to make sure we understood it and why we were utilizing it and how it could benefit us then, what that looked like when you turned that big old corner at like 7 years in, and then you're just kind of sailing the rest of the way. But I truly think it's such a great investment and such a great way to kind of set your family up. And then it can really kind of set generations afterwards, you know, if you're smart enough to really kind of teach your kids to be savvy.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason that the largest clients of whole life insurance are the banks, Fortune 500 companies, and the ultra wealthy. So it's there's just no way to look past that and not recognize that there is something here. But it does matter who creates your policies. I don't think anyone is best suited to just take an off-the-shelf policy. I think you need a specialist that can craft a policy with certain riders and certain structures that are going to allow you to get ahead and have it compound in a different way and give you access to most of the money immediately within 24 to 48 hours of putting it in to have access to the vast majority, 90% plus of those dollars to borrow against if you need it for something, which for me was a game changer because I was going to buy some real estate. And then when I learned about this, they said, well, why wouldn't you just do this and then borrow against it and buy the same real estate? And I was like, oh yeah, that's a great question. I was going to say like, maybe I got to wait because I got to do one or the other. But the reality is if I do this whole life policy and it's structured the right way and I can borrow back, then I can do both. So why would I not do both?
Yeah, I completely agree. I think it's super cool. We've kind of been moving forward with some additional teams to just every year, you know, trying to sit down, and now I'm trying to structure it to every 6 months sitting down and just doing a full overview of what our whole life looks like, personal and business, you know, everything outgoing and everything that's coming in and what we can do without. I think minimalism has been my biggest thing now of just what we don't need and what we could give away and what we just wasting. So that's been a huge thing kind of moving forward now. But I do think that those choices are huge. Any other tips or things? I know we've got about 10 minutes left. So I wanted to really make sure that you touched on, you know, just different aspects of things that you felt people could do quickly and or, you know, just were no-brainers, especially if maybe they didn't have a ton of money sitting around or really weren't sure, you know, how to get started.
I mean, I think everyone starts in a different place. You know, I think it took me a little while to get started because I didn't have the confidence. I didn't have the knowledge. I thought you had to have a lot of money to do this. And I realized that you don't. If you find a good deal, someone with money will want to do it. So I didn't need to wait as long as I waited. I think for those that have money and are unsure what to do, you're actually rewarded today because treasuries pay you really well and you can just keep your money in treasuries until you find what you want to invest in. I think you can ask yourself the question, do I want to buy deeded property or do I want to invest through someone else that's an expert? And you can make this decision pretty easily. Do you want to put more time into it yourself and get a bigger return, or are you okay putting less time into it and earning a smaller return because you have to pay someone to do it? It doesn't mean the return's small. It's just not as much as if you, managed it yourself. If you bought the deeded property yourself and ran it or brought in a property manager to run it. So those are kind of like the two different sides of the aisle. And for people that have the time, why not buy some income producing real estate and start there and allow that passive income to grow and fund your life and eventually fund your future investment. Because at the beginning, I remember I first started out where, you know, I was trying to save 15 or 20% of everything I made. But once you get to surplus income, everything above and beyond lifestyle, you can invest 100% of it, you know, or you can invest 80% and you know, put 20% to charity. But the bottom line is 100% of those dollars can go to something else because you don't need them. And I think that's a powerful place to be. Or you can be, you know, on the other side and say, hey, it's okay having other people getting into real estate or businesses, and I'll invest through in private credit even, which, you know, is becoming more and more attractive depending on the right deal. You've got to have people that know what they're doing. They've been in the business 10, 20, ideally through a recession before. So 10 to 20, maybe even 30 years experience. And when you have that, and it feels great to, like, I mean, if you're going to pay someone, I want to pay someone with that type of experience. So I would just say, get started. You know, what I say on my podcast on the Lifestyle Investor is, you know, what's one step you can take today to move towards passive income and financial freedom and really a life on your terms? Most people live a life on default. So how do you live a life proactively? And what are the steps that you can take, or what's a step you can take today to get there?
Yeah, that's probably my favorite part of your podcast, because it just, every time I listen to him, it continues to allow me to think again and just remember it and that next step, and it just baby steps. And it doesn't mean to you have to jump in full force. I mean, just taking it one step at a time. But I think sketching out that journey and what that looks like and what you can do today, but then your goals for tomorrow and the next day and what that looks like and how you're going to get there. And I think that that's absolutely the only way that you get there. And I love your podcasts. And I think I've told you, I think I've listened to just about every single one of them. And now I started all the way at the bottom again, and I'm going back through them all just to see what I didn't capture or how I hear it differently this time, which has really been cool. That's been something that's been fun conversation, like with Eric and I, and just like, I didn't catch that this time, but just amazing individuals on your podcast, and their stories are so cool and they're so different. And I think that they resonate with anybody and everybody out there. They're going to find somebody or many of them that they resonate with, along with yourself. It's just super cool.
Well, thank you. It means a lot. And man, to have an avid fan that is listening to everything, that's just very humbling. So thank you. And I'm excited for what that also means for how many you've listened to for your own podcast, which I think is going to, you know, pay dividends.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the coolest, best thing is when I can go back through and I can read them and I feel like I know the person that the podcast is with, and I feel like I already have a relationship with them. So it's just really cool. And I think, you know, anybody would benefit from, you know, listening to your podcast, grabbing your book, you know, really kind of just taking some time to dive into it, think about things that they can do today, but listening to other individuals talk. And I mean, you've got some crazy stories on there of people coming from absolutely nothing. And they're heart-wrenching stories of living in a car and being homeless, and crazy stories to like these mogul real estate gurus. And I listen to them and I'll be on a run. I don't listen to music, Justin. I listen to your podcast while I run.
Oh, that's awesome. Super flattering. And man, what an inspirational run you must have too. Cause some of these people, like, I'm just blown away as well. I mean, I love doing the podcast cause I'm that, you know, they inspire me.
Mm-hmm. I bet they do. I mean, I can't imagine how fun it is. I know it's just, I'm sure it's amazing to speak with those individuals. So, well, we've got about 4 minutes left. I don't know if you want to tell people any like big challenges that you've ever hit, or a do and a don't that you ever talk about? I don't know what that looks like for you.
Well, we could do a whole podcast episode on mistakes I've made. Therefore, I've gained some knowledge, and hopefully you can just completely, you know, copy all the things, or all the things that I'm saying, hey, don't do this because I already made the mistakes. Do this. You know, I think the first home that I ever bought, man, I did not do a good job buying it. Then I rented it out. I had negative cash flow. It was a condo. There were association fees. There was parking. There was a roof leak. I was on the top floor. Somehow my insurance didn't cover it. I probably needed to get even more aggressive there with that insurance company. I mean, it was like everything that could go wrong did. I got a credit line against it. So I borrowed against it to A, you know, fix it up, B, to start a business. And then, you know, push comes to shove, where, you know, by the way, I bought it like right before the housing crisis. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the value plummeted, but I couldn't sell it to get my money back. So anyway, long story short, I sell it years later, and I had to come to the table with like $150,000. So I sold my home and had to come to the table with cash. It was brutal. So that was my first experience with real estate.
I love it. I mean, that's humbling, but it's good to know. I mean, I think that one of the great things about you is you're just so human. You're just so real. You're just so raw. I mean, what it is what it is. I love that. So, you know, I don't want to take up too much of your time. We're running down. I'm going to have your information, you know, on our social media and on our newsletters, but where can people find you, find your podcasts, your book, and just really kind of dive in, grab your book, and just, you know, start getting, you know, getting a little better in investments?
Yeah, sure. The best place to find me is lifestyleinvestor.com. We've got everything there. So I've got, you know, a blog and a podcast. Those are free. We've got, you know, the book and a bunch of resources, masterclasses, you know, educational content. We've got mastermind info and just really, you know, anything and everything. We've got a tax strategy masterclass. We've got a passive income masterclass. We've got a mobile home park investing masterclass. So there's all kinds. And by the way, we're building out in a month and a half, a due diligence masterclass. So that will be on there soon. But the other thing I'd love to say is anyone in your audience that would like to learn more and actually speak to someone on our team, we're doing these consultation calls. They're generally $500, but for anyone in your community that has any interest, we would do that for free. And just give them a chance to figure out what next steps might be. So if you go to lifestyleinvestor.com/consultation, you'll get a link to be able to book a time. And that link should waive the fee. So you should get it for free.
That's fantastic. And we will put that all out on the social media and then the next newsletter again. And yeah, I think that'll be great. That's a great opportunity, Justin. And I think all of those classes, I need to even get on there and take a few more, especially the tax strategies. That's hugely important. I know we didn't touch on it, but that's a huge one. So I think everybody needs to get out there and certainly take a look at that one, sign up for it, because that in itself could literally change their life.
100%. I mean, people, when I give keynotes, you know, and I've spoken all over, I've spoken at Texas Ranger Stadium, I've been at South by Southwest, wherever. One of the things I love to say is, hey, who wants to learn about my favorite investment? And of course, all hands go up. And I followed up and say, well, who would love to know that this investment is something you also can do? So it's not just for me. You could do it too. And of course, everyone's excited. And I, you know, I build it up. And then finally, I pull up a slide and it says, you know, is your tax strategy reactive or is it proactive? Right. And so the whole gist is the single greatest investment I've ever made is into my tax strategy that has saved me so much more money that I then can invest and compound wealth with. And this is true for everyone. Most people tip Uncle Sam. So I'm not saying don't pay taxes. I'm just saying pay what you're legally allowed to pay and nothing more. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that right there is gold in itself. It really is. So I hope more people will go and try that out. They can start at any point, no matter what income they make. I think it's just a great place for them to really go and continue. So, well, Justin, thank you so much. I really appreciate you being here.
Thanks, Amy. Great to be on, and always great to connect.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you guys out there. I'm so grateful for you. I appreciate you giving me your time. And thank you for all the support. I can't thank you enough. It's been what's kept me going, and just keeping on. And, you know, we'll pray for you. And I hope that you'll send some prayers my way. So
thank you guys for listening to this week's episode of the Advocacy and Hope Podcast with host Amy Post. Please check out the show notes for all of the guests' bios and information and links to follow to learn more even after the episode. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast so that you don't miss any of the upcoming episodes, and please share it out to those who need to hear this inspiring message. You can subscribe, rate, and review all of this on your favorite podcast platform, and we sincerely thank you for spending some time with us today.